Welcome to Pilgrim Talk.
And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And so he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Now, Dave, here's the interesting thing. That scripture, Elijah used those words. He used them twice, didn't he?
He did. Yes. Yeah.
And we know the background here, that the prophets of Baal, he just had this amazing victory over these demonic prophets. We know the story. They poured the water on the sacrifice. He called down fire and God answered.
Yeah.
The prophets were slain and he was the man of the moment, Elijah.
Well, and you know that...
And Jezebel said something to him, didn't she?
Well, the whole nation turned from worshipping these false gods to back to worshipping Jehovah, the Lord God of hosts.
That'd be great if that happened in Ireland. Yeah.
Yeah, and imagine if you were the guy who called down fire from heaven
and made it happen.
How would that affect you? You know, I mean, I've been very interested in Elijah here, and his relationship with God.
Yeah.
Because you know, it's one thing to stand on Mount Carmel and call down fire from heaven and wipe out the prophets of Baal and win this incredible victory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that can really cause you to define yourself and to see yourself in a certain way.
Yeah, you kind of begin to walk like John Wayne after that.
Well, you know, I mean, we trust that somebody being a prophet of God wouldn't go down that road. But maybe our trust is a little bit misplaced, because it when we have success and even a small measure of victory, it's funny how that can affect us. Well, or not so much affect us, but can bring out stuff in us that we didn't know was there.
Well, one of the real mysteries, Dave, is Elijah had seen this amazing victory in Mount Carmel, right?
Yeah.
And then Jezebel said, "I'm going to get you for dinner. You know,
right.
I'm gonna kill you."
That's right. She sends him.
Instead of him saying, yeah, he looks up his email. He says, "Oh, inbox from Jezebel."
Yeah,
she threatens
like
him.
That.
And instead of thinking, "Well, I'm locked off 400. Here's one more, no problem." He didn't think that way.
Yeah,
he ran out of fear.
Yeah.
And
so
depression
terror. What was it that caused that to happen?
I don't know.
Why did that happen?
Yeah.
Well, you see, I think when he gets to Mount Sinai 40 days later, having run through the desert and having had angels minister to him and feed him and keep him alive in the desert, and he gets to Mount Sinai, I think all is revealed there. It's all, the veil is taken away. We can understand what happened to Elijah.
Yeah, go on. What happened?
Well, like you mentioned there earlier, he hears the voice of God there on Mount Sinai. God says to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?"
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, he could have been right back there in the middle of changing the whole nation.
God sends him a text, says, "Zup, what's up?"
What's up? Yeah, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah says, here it is, verse 10, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." So pretty grim stuff.
Yeah.
And then what happens is, the Lord passed by, great strong wind tore the mountain in pieces, smashed the rocks, and then there's an earthquake. And God just seems to give Elijah just a personal kind of tour de force of the kind of things that God can do when, you know, when...
But it was only in the still...
And then there's
voice.
A still small voice. And when Elijah hears the still small voice, he wraps himself in his mantle and goes out to the mouth of the cave. mm-hmm. and God speaks to him again.
Right.
You know what God says? God says, what are you doing here, Elijah?
And he same gets question. The same answer.
And he gives exactly, word for word, exactly the same thing. He says, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life.
It's as if he rehearsed it.
Well, yeah. He had this little speech made up.
Yeah, he probably sang it or something.
Well,
song,
you know, for 40 days and 40 nights.
He was running through his head all these words.
So, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? What am I going to say? And this is what he came up with.
Yeah.
And this is what he came up with. And the first thing you see there is, I have been very zealous. And you know, truly, he had been very zealous.
Yeah.
I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. Now, that's a reference to Almighty God, the commander of the hosts of heaven.
Someone so powerful. Yeah.
And Elijah had defined himself as the servant in the service of the Lord God of hosts.
Oh, what's wrong with that?
Yeah. But you see, here's the interesting thing, that he was able to trust God when he stood on Mount Carmel and called down fire from heaven.
And he was doing the Rambo thing.
He could trust God that God would turn the nation around, that this is what God was doing.
Yeah.
But when Jezebel pointed the finger at him and said, I'm going to get you by this time tomorrow, he couldn't trust God for his own life.
Right.
You see? Mm. So he saw himself as being part of the big equation that God was doing. And of course, God was going to support him because God was doing this big thing in Israel.
Mm.
But when it came down to Elijah,
down to the personal,
the
heart,
the man,
he
didn't have it.
Mm.
He didn't have that trust. And so he ran.
Yeah.
And so he gets to Mount Sinai and he starts this conversation with God.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows, I mean, you know, what was really going on with Elijah at this point, apart from what he actually said? I mean, when you take away the whole veneer of his little speech, what was actually going on for him? He was terrified.
Yeah.
He was discouraged. He was afraid. He was anxious. But he couldn't bring that up with God.
Yeah. I often, Dave, I talk to some people and they might be involved in, say, church leadership or something, you know, and I'd say to them, how are you, you know?
Yeah.
And the sad thing, to be honest, the answer I often get back is, they tell me how well their church is doing.
Yeah. I've heard that.
You know, and it's like, that wasn't the question. You know, the question is, how are you, you know?
But, you see, this to me is something...
Something like this with Elijah here.
But this is the thing that raises a flag for me in my life, right? How we define ourselves is how we come into the presence of God. And we may define ourselves in a way that is much less than how God defines us.
Right.
You see?
Go on, just to develop that one. How does God define us? Not by what we do, but by who we are.
Not even so much that. But God defines our relationship as creator to creature.
Right.
But we define ourselves as a prophet, a pastor, an evangelist, a church leader, a zealous servant of the Lord God of hosts. And, you know, because, I was finding, you know, when I would come to have my time with the Lord, what I used to call my quiet time. I don't call it my quiet time anymore.
Noisy
just
time.
Time with the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, I would find that all of a sudden I needed to make a cup of tea. And I'd get my cup of tea and I'd sit down again. And I might open the Bible and I find, oh, my pen isn't working. I have to go and find a pen that works. And then, oh gosh, you know, I have to answer that email. So, and I'd find that I would be doing a whole raft of distractions.
Mm.
And then eventually, you know, when I actually got down to getting into the presence of God, suddenly I just feel exhausted. And maybe I would have a quiet time. And I'd fall asleep. You know, and I thought, why is having time with the Lord such hard work? And you know what I realize?
Yeah.
It's such hard work because I am trying to maintain something that does not exist.
Mm.
This definition of myself. So now, why don't I just come into the presence of God as creature to creator?
Yeah. Wow.
See, for Elijah, you know, it's one thing to stand on Mount Carmel and say, well, you know, I'm the guy who called fire down from heaven. And, you know, but you can't go into the presence of God and say that. Because God says, well, that
God's not impressed.
God says, like Shania Twain, you know, that don't impress me much. Because God will say, well, actually, you know, I did that.
Actually, it was my fire, not yours.
Yeah, I mean, so it cuts away, or, you know, in the presence of God, it takes away this definition that we have of ourselves. And sometimes we don't like that.
Yeah.
Because we don't know who we are as creature to creator.
Yeah.
But, you know, let me tell you this. If we want to walk in the fullness of the revival that God is sending to Ireland and to the world, we're going to have to go down this road of just being in the presence of God, our creator, as his creature.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I think the first thing is, this kind of a conviction I have, Dave, is that believers will be secure in who they are. Now, that security doesn't come from anything they do. It comes from who God has made them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And because we're in a world where the value system is so backward and upside down, you know, and your justification is, well, what do you do? Who are you? Oh, well, I'm an architect. I'm a doctor. I'm a whatever I am. And people go, oh, yeah, well, cool, or whatever.
Mm.
And, you know, well, what do you do? Well, I sweep the roads, you know, for the council. They go, oh, yes. Right. You know, they're judging people in the completely wrong way.
Yeah.
Because it's not by, it's who we are.
Yeah.
So I was saw a little thing on the television. It was one of these Britain's Got Talent or something, and there was a girl on it, and she was very, God bless her, she was very large, you know, this girl, and she was only 20 or something like that. But she had a fantastic voice, and you could see when she had been she was being recognized for her skills, you know, how it was really touching her heart, you know. And I feel like she's going to lose a lot of weight, that girl, because she's going to have a lot of security in who she is by some affirmation, whereas the battling that's been going on might have been intense as a teenager and as a younger person. You know, many people have such incredibly low self-esteem. I don't know if there was a TV ad I saw, very clever, they've two women, and they ask them, well, tell us something good about yourself, and they all go, and they can't say anything. And then they ask the other person, tell us something good about this person. And there's no problem saying the good things. And, you know, it's like the way we see ourselves. In natural things, put ourselves down and not see what the good things God has done.
Yeah.
But if we're secure in our relationship with God, who he's made us, you know. I mean, boy, you look at the word of God. He's elevated us. He's seated you with Christ. My goodness.
Amazing.
It's not that you're Superman or something.
Yeah.
It's no, we're superworm. You know, that the Lord says, I'm going to lift you up, O worm Jacob, and put my glory on you, you know, and honor you. And Jesus talks about marrying a bride, you know, and out of these people. It's wild stuff.
But, you know,
all God's doing.
Yes. And it is all God's doing. You know, because when we see ourselves as a creature,
we understand the relationship, proper
the
order.
Creator.
Yeah.
Well, then, you know, we don't own anything. In fact, we are owned.
Yeah, that's Like Job said, naked we came, naked we go.
Yeah. We don't have an independent existence from God.
Yeah.
That's a delusion.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We cannot survive from one moment to the next without the Creator's constant intervention.
Yeah.
What an amazing thing.
Yeah.
And so who are you, you know, that we be comfortable in who we are, but who are we? Well, we are a creature.
I often think that scripture in Hebrews, in him all things consist or hold together.
Yeah.
You know, and it talks, again, in 2 Peter, it talks about judgment time when the elements will untie. I don't know if you've ever seen that one.
Right.
And that's speaking about the bond that is between atoms and everything is going to untie and come loose like a nuclear bomb.
Mm.
And it's like God's grace being withdrawn from matter, from everything.
Mm.
When God takes his word away, the nucleus of an atom blows apart, you know, because mm-hmm. he supernaturally holds these things together.
Yeah.
And but that's not just atoms now, it's everything. Our marriages, relationships, life, you know, health, everything is held together in Christ.
Yeah.
You know, so people who reject God are really working in dangerous territory because, you know, it's like things in their lives untie without them understanding why.
Yeah. And very often we attribute the reason why things fall apart in our lives to other, you know, to other sources than the fact that, well, we're just not acknowledging God or paying any attention to God.
Yeah, well, listen, on that note, we'll say goodbye. This is Pilgrim Talk. This is Anthony Brabazon.
David O'Rourke.
We're saying goodbye. God bless you, and tune in next time, same place, next week. God bless you.
God bless you all.